Hey guys, Rick here from the Mobile Hunter Podcast, and I'm here to tell you about one of our sponsors, Saddy's LLC, Custom Ammunition and Gun Works. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads that have been putting down deer, waterfowl, and turkey all year long. The Saddy's Fatty, the turkey load that we use, can stop a bird dead in its tracks. Check them out at SattiesLLC.com. That's SattiesLLC.com or on Facebook at Satties LLC and tell them the Mobile Hunter Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the Mobile Hunter Podcast. Our mission is simple. We want to help you become a better hunter. We believe that mobility kills and efficiency will set you free.
Welcome to the Mobile Hunter Podcast. We're your hosts, Rick Cates and Josh Luck.
Hey, everyone.
And Chris Leppert is not with us this evening, but we should probably say he is dreaming of big birds in his head as he continues to try to figure out the onslaught of the infamous Thunder Chicken.
Yeah, he's... Well, not only that, his little boy's birthday was today. So,
very true. Happy birthday, Cade.
Yes, happy birthday, little man. Oddly enough, for someone that loves hunting, Chris had his second daughter's birthday is during the rut, and his son's birthday is during turkey season. So I just chalk it up as he's not a great planner. He's spending all day with his son, and then once everyone's asleep, then he's preparing for some turkeys tomorrow.
He won't. And that's okay, because we can bring to you, though, a couple successful turkey hunts that we've had. So we've now hunted what? You've hunted Ohio, Kentucky. I hunted Kentucky. And we both have birds down, and you have bird down in Ohio. I have one down in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of continue our turkey talk series, which for those of you that are listening will be ending soon. And then you won't have to hear any more about birds again until we decide to start talking about spring thunder until next year. Oh, man. But so we should probably go ahead and start with opening weekend in Kentucky. And let's start there, and then I'll work my way back to how my son's hunt progressed into my hunt last during the success that I had. So
you guys started during Kentucky's youth, right?
We did. We started. I'll just start there. We started on Kentucky's youth, which is the first weekend in April, and my little boy is been chomping at the bit to get out and hunt turkeys since December. It's like his... He really, really likes hunting turkeys. So I've got a buddy who is kind enough to let me hunt his farm. Josh has been down there. Chris has hunted it. It was the infamous place of the Chris Miss, part of the Chris Miss last year, before I bagged mine, my Kentucky bird. But
it's a turkey paradise.
Oh, man. It is insane. We'll get into it more as we go through this, but if you can remember Ohio in like the early 2000s, where it's just like there's gobbling everywhere, that's the way this place still is. It is truly amazing, and it has a lot to do with the habitat of the area and how people take care of it. It's a lot to do with the amount of food that's down there for those birds. The amount of bugs is just insane. Nobody sprays their fields. It's a lot of cattle pasture. It's a lot of old hardwoods and, you know, lots of just great, great native habitat for those birds.
Yeah. And there's multiple creeks that kind of run through there. So they have running water. It's kind of everything a bird would need.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so he also is enrolled in the, I believe the USDA forest program, where they come and they've helped him identify trees. He puts in pollinator habitat, which is, you know, just fantastic for turkeys. It's fantastic for deer. I've even heard quail down there recently, as last year, which is, I haven't heard a quail outside of a pen raised bird in probably a decade. It's truly, truly, truly impressive, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll roll that right into my son's hunt. So I took both my sons down, and we didn't get to go down to listen for birds this year. Like I like to do. I like to go down, you know, a few weeks early, go listen for birds, go scout, just make sure everything's where it needs to be at. And for whatever reason, because I think of like kids' birthdays and life getting in the way, we never got down there to listen. So we were kind of going in, you know, quote unquote blind, but I knew we really weren't. So I take my boys down there. We set the blind up at the place I killed my bird last year, and where my son shot and missed his bird the year before. And, you know, we hunt out of a, I don't know, probably it's technically a 3-person blind, cause I like to have a little bit of room to move around. We use for any of you parents out there, or for anybody who has trouble just holding their gun, invest in a bog pod death grip. It will be the single best investment hunting wise that you can make for your kid. Harrison shoots a 410, Stevens 301 410, and he's using saddies running through that sucker. So we had got him sighted in. I'm pretty sure he's a better shot than I am. it's pretty impressive to see how good of a shot he is and how confident he's kind of gotten over the past year or so with that 410. It's really kind of cool. So we come back, have a guy's night, go to dinner. Then we hit the hay and alarm goes off. I shouldn't say alarm went off. I woke up at 3:50 because my body does this stupid thing where if I'm getting up early, my anxiety will get me up before my alarm. So I woke up at 3:50 for a 4:30 alarm. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to get the truck packed. I'm going to get everything going, and then I'll wake him up, and then we'll head down, because it's 45 minutes to an hour away. So I get him up. He pops right out of bed. We get dressed, and it was chilly that morning. I want to say it was, what, in the 30s?
Yeah, it was that initial part of the season was, yeah, in the 30s in the mornings.
So I mean, not frost, but pretty darn close to it. So we get down there, we get the gun, we get everything set up, get him, you know, in his overalls, get him in his jacket and stuff. And we start heading, and it's about, I want to say it's about a half mile walk up the hill to the pinch point where we were at. So we get up there, after a little while, and after getting through a gate that I didn't realize it was going to be locked, which was a fun task with in the dark, carrying a bag, carrying another chair, carrying the gun, and trying to push my son through this gate. We finally get set up about, I don't know, 15 minutes before shooting light, and I rip a hoot owl call, and there's birds just gobbling their heads off. I think we heard probably 7 birds on the roost that morning. And I mean, they were going at it. So we're sitting, we're listening, and you couldn't think of like a more perfect morning. And it gets to be right down at fly down time. We hear some hens pitch down. We hear what I believe to be a gobbler pitch down. There's a little bit of gobbling on the ground, not a ton. So Harrison, like most children, kind of is looking around, that kind of stuff. We have birds that kind of sound like they're coming in, but then, you know, hens pick them off, walk them away. So it gets to be, I want to say like 7:30, 7:45. And Harrison like pulled his hat down over his eyes. And next thing I know, he's out, like out. Like he doesn't know where he's at. And I know this because I throw a call out. He doesn't move. And I hear two real weak gobbles probably 200 yards away. And I was like, those are Jake's. Like, those are dumb birds. They're going to come in. And to kind of give everyone an idea of what our setup is, so I didn't have the same issue as last year. For those of you that listened, my son had the bird of a lifetime at 40 yards because his dad, I'm sorry, 35 yards, because his dad is an idiot and set the decoys up wrong and had the Jake coming towards us and the hen closer to us, not thinking that the bird would go in and attack the Jake first before it tried to come up to the hen. He shot and missed. I'm kind of glad that he shot and missed because it would have ruined him for the rest of his life had he hit the bird. So we have these two Jakes appear in the field. So I shake Harrison. I'm like, hey, bud, there's two birds in the field. And they're like closing fast, pretty fast. And they're touching each other the entire time as they're coming in. And Harrison, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What part, you guys were at the pinch.
Yep.
What part of the property were they on?
So they, if you're looking straight out off over the pasture,
yeah,
like that big cattle pasture right there, mm-hmm. that little knoll that comes up, like if you look straight out, there's that little rolling knoll that goes down and then goes back up. That it's almost like a saddle in the middle of that field.
Yeah.
They come straight up out of that saddle.
Oh, okay.
So they'd come off the roost and I think pitched down on the second road that goes down into the, like the area where he's got that food plot that he puts in. But yeah, So they came up and walked straight at us. And gotcha. I'm shaking Harrison at this point, trying to get him up. He stands up and does not know where he is at. Like, does not know where he's at. And I like have to grab him and like hold on to him for a second. I'm like, buddy, there's two birds in the field. You've got to stop moving. And like, he finally comes to when he hears one of them gobble. So he gets set down on my knee because this is what we had agreed to. Instead of him standing up, he sit on my knee. And these birds are coming in quick. So, I mean, they're at 150, they're at 100, and then they're there. So these Jakes are coming in, they're touching the entire time. One keeps going in and out of full strut. Finally, one goes into full strut, and the other one kind of pokes its head out. He gets set up, and I'm waiting for them to come in like another 10 yards. Right now they're at 40. If they get within to 30 and 20, he's got this thing made. So they come in and immediately go to the decoy at 15 yards. I'm thinking this is over. He's going to pop this bird. Well, cock the hammer on the gun. He gets set up. He looks through and it's like, yawn the bird. And he goes, yeah. As soon as the bird he was going to shoot, it puts its head back down, goes back into strut. The other bird then like walks in front of it with its head up and then it moves. So they're doing this dance back and forth for like, I mean, they hit the Jake decoy and then they kind of bugger a little bit and they go out to the hen. Hen's at 20 yards. They keep doing this goofy dance where they're not separating. And Harrison keeps asking, can I shoot now? Can I shoot now? I'm like, no, like just wait. Just wait, buddy. So finally, this goes on for 25 minutes. It was infuriating watching these birds. Because all I want to do is like just pull the trigger and shoot. So finally they get separated and he goes and he puts the dot right on this bird's head. It's like, whenever you're ready, buddy. And all of a sudden a deer's head pops out 10 yards behind these birds. And I was like, don't shoot. He goes, why? And I said, because there's a deer looking dead at us. And so he goes, so? And I said, if you shoot that bird, it's going to hit that deer in the face. So then, instead of being the one time I want our wind to be blowing towards the deer, it's blowing directly in our face. So those deer know something's wrong. Another deer appears. So now there's two deer. The birds are completely separated at this point because the turkeys are pissed that the deer are there, to the point where the turkeys are gobbling at the deer, trying to make them go away. And it's just, we're sitting there watching this. This goes on for another 20 minutes. Like, these deer not moving. Like, I can't do anything because it's not working. The other part of this that I didn't mention is that I didn't have my slate call in my hand when those birds originally came in, and that hurt us because when they hit that Jake decoy, they jumped back and I had nothing to make any like soft clucks or purrs with to keep them in close. So they kind of stayed out. And when I have a feeling they kind of stayed around because they kept just doing soft purrs and clucks, hoping they'd come in. And there's one that was just like coming in and then going back out and then coming and going back out. Finally, it's now 40 minutes since these birds have shown up. The deer go away. The turkeys, one wanders off at about 75 yards, and the other one is going in and out of full strut at like 40 and 45. And I told Harrison, I was like, buddy, if you feel comfortable shooting, that bird is by itself now. Like, just make sure you aim like right at the top of the head, like we've talked about when you shoot that far, and, you know, make sure you're shot. And he goes, I don't think I want to make that long of a shot. I said, okay, like that's fine. So the bird goes off to the side of the blind. I'm looking out the side. All of a sudden, the bird that's at 75 yards starts making like a racket. Like, what is going on? I look to the wood line where, you know, where that bowl goes down and then it comes up and there's that other, the other road that goes into the bottom.
Yeah. So if you're up at the pinch, it'd be kind of toward your left.
Towards your left.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I see what I am still convinced is the bird that Harrison missed last year. I see this massive, massive turkey at the side of the field. Well, so did the Jakes, and the Jakes took off running towards it and tried to beat the hell out of it. I mean,
but that's the only thing about that farm. We ran into that. It's like every year you have, what, the first year I went there with you guys, there was like a whole group of Jakes that would hang out, and the
four of them. Yep.
Yeah. That one, the one boss Tom, a big gobbler, was like way off in the back by himself, way far away from the Jakes. They're just a bunch of bullies around there.
Man, they run off to try to beat the hell out of this bird. And like, I turned to Harris, I'm like, look out the window, and like trying to make it interesting for him at this point, because he didn't get a shot opportunity. And I felt, it's turkey hunting. As an adult, I know that. To a 7-year-old kid, it's like, why the hell can't I shoot the turkey? So we get to have a nice conversation about that. So it gets to be 9:15. I was trying to call another bird in. It wasn't working. He goes, Dad, I think I'm ready to pack it in. So at 9:30, I was like, okay, bud, like, well, let's walk down. We'll get the UTV and we'll come up and we'll pack everything up. So we walk down. I'm calling just to maybe make sure we have the gun when we're walking back down, because we think, oh, you know, maybe we'll run into something and he can sit on my lap and, you know, I can, you know, he can still shoot. Nothing. So I unload the gun when we get back down to the house, put in the case, and we drive back up to the blind. So we get to the bend right before the pinch, and I look in the field, and that massive Tom is standing 5 feet in front of the blind. We have no gun. We have no means of killing this bird. I stop the UTV, and Harrison's thought was, he goes, let's just drive back down and get the gun, and then we'll come back up here and shoot it. Verbatim his words. It's like, buddy, that's a great thought. That's not going to happen. As soon as I start this thing back up, that bird's going to run. So we sit there and watch him for, you know, 4 minutes. I turn on the UTV, and as soon as it clicked over, a bird took off running down into the woods and buggered off. So I had a pretty disappointed 7-year-old on my hands, and we talked about it. It's like, hey, buddy, like, you know, you're not always going to get a chance. And I said, we're going to work to get you out like some other time during this, you know, like I want you to get a bird. Like my goal every year is for my son to get a bird. Even if I don't get an opportunity to do that. And,
that's a rough hunt for a little guy,
man. It was a rough hunt for me. Like I'm sitting there just watching it just all happen. I'm like, this sucks so freaking bad. And, you know, I didn't start turkey hunting until I was probably 10, maybe 11, you know, and I didn't have, yeah, he's spoiled. Like, don't get me wrong. Like this isn't a fair, it's not necessarily fair. You know, it's a lot like a farm that I used to have access to hunt to when I was in high school, where it's just like, there's so many birds. It's almost impossible to screw it up. And he kind of got the idea, you know, he shot and missed last year. He's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get one every time I go out. This year, he didn't get to shoot. And I think that's what bothered him more. He's like, I didn't get to shoot and miss. He goes, if I shoot and miss, it's one thing. But if I don't get to actually shoot, that's a completely different situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough. I mean, I had the safety off 3 different times. Between Ohio and Kentucky, we'll get into it, but between Ohio and Kentucky, I had the safety off 3 different times. I never got to shoot the gun.
Yeah.
So I feel for the guy.
It sucks. Like, and all you want, when you take a youth hunter out, especially, you know, you want to make it, and I don't get me wrong, this was a very memorable hunt. Like, I mean, it was a memorable hunt for me. You know, you want to make it a memorable hunt, but you're deep down inside, you're like, you're trying to get a kid interested in hunting. You want them to be able to get a bird at all costs if you can get them out there. I mean, it's different than deer hunting. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot more activity, which I feel like keeps kids engaged a lot more than in deer hunting. Mm-hmm. You know, the calling, kind of being able to sit in a blind, like you can sit in a blind in for deer hunting, I guess, but like sitting in a blind for turkeys, it's just, I don't know. It's better in a lot of ways in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. It's more interactive, keeps their mm-hmm. attention longer. I mean, when you're out there hearing gobbles often, especially there, I mean, you're going to hear gobbles yeah. and turkeys all the time. So that's a great place to take them and keep them engaged.
Yeah, it's like fishing for bluegill in a stocked pond.
Yeah,
I mean, like you want something to keep them engaged. So, so that was youth weekend. We didn't get out on Sunday. We had tickets to the Reds game. We went and did other family stuff, and it was a good weekend overall, except for that part with the hunting. But that rolls directly into opening weekend in Kentucky, and we, I feel like, went on 2 very different hunts that mm-hmm. weekend. So go ahead and like you start with yours and then we'll get to mine and how that rolls into what happened this past weekend.
So Chris and I went out to the same piece of public in Kentucky that we went to last year and had success opening day. Well, I had success opening day. Chris missed, but then he went back and eventually got his bird. But we set up in the same areas. So to kind of paint a picture a little bit, there are some open fields and stuff on top. It was kind of like a, I guess you call rolling hills, or it's got some ridges in it. So a lot of the pressure on the public is up top. On one side of this area, you can crest over the ridge and go down a little bit, and then you're kind of overlooking this bench system that wraps all the way around almost this entire portion of May. So last year, that is where we set up because we had figured out those birds like to roost along that bench. They could, if they see someone from up top, they can pitch down the other way, go down the hill where there's some private, or they can just pitch off on that bench, stay hidden out of sight. It's like a perfect strut zone too.
Nice.
So I went in the same spot I did last year. Actually, I went like 30 yards or so. If I'm kind of facing downhill, I went 30 yards to my right because last year I almost missed an opportunity at the bird because he kind of went off on the other side of the bench and went to go down the hill. So in my thought, I'm like, I'm going to scooch down. In case that scenario happens again, I have a shot further down the bench and I won't have to worry about it. So I get set up there and I'm expecting, so last year, the birds were roosted probably like 100 yards down the bench to my right, mm-hmm. and then maybe like 150 yards down the bench to what would have been my left. So I'm kind of paying attention to more so my right, because there's some larger trees there. And as it's starting getting close to daylight, this gobbler erupts in my face. and mind you, like I said, we like just crest this ridge and I'm sitting above the bench. And what these birds will do is they'll be on the bench and they'll kind of pitch off in the trees. Like they really don't have to fly up or fly down. They can just pitch right off.
Nice.
Or if they're above the ridge, they can do the same thing. So this gobbler erupts in my face. And when I'm talking about in my face, I'm saying he's 50 yards, almost dead even with me.
Oh, like, wow.
Out.
Like face to face?
He sounded like it when I heard it. I mean, it's still somewhat dark and he just goes off and it scared the daylights out of me because I was not expecting it. I'm like, you know, jump. I'm like, oh my God, he's right here. So when he was that close, like I threw my safety off because I'm like, well, if he pitches down, like it could be like right in front of me and this could be over very quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's starting to get more daylight, like he's going off and I'm trying to see him. And that we had a ton of fog where we were at, like a bunch, and it was kind of difficult to see. But that gobbler went off. There was a hen or two pretty close by as well. And then I heard some gobblers like down the bench to my left, like 150, 200 yards. But in my mind, I'm like, man, this guy's going to pitch down right here and it's going to be over quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's starting to get more daylight. I see a bird pitch off just below that bench, pitch off down towards the private. And I'm like, oh, please, please don't go that way. I didn't think any bird would go that way because there was a ton of fog a little lower. And I'm like, they can't like see. It makes no sense for them to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a break in the fog and one went that way. So I'm like sitting there waiting. I was like, come on, like, where is this gobbler going to go? Where is he at? And I see a bird just off to my left, about 40, 50 yards, pitched down out of a tree and onto the bench. And where that bird pitches down, where they land on the bench, it's about 40 yards. I could shoot that bird. And at that point, that gobbler sounded off when that bird pitched down. I'm like, oh, he's not directly in front of me. He's a little to my left. And I had a tree blocking my view, and that's why I couldn't see him.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, come on. Like, pitch down right there, and you're done. On the other side of where that first bird pitched down, I believe it was a hen, there was a downed tree. And it was blocking my view from any further down the bench. Like, it wasn't on the bench, it was just above it, but it was blocking my view from anything further to my left that was further than like 45 yards. What's that gobbler do? Pitches down on the other side of that downed tree, just starts hammering, and then walks away. Like, away from the other birds. I don't know, because I was so close, if he might have saw me set up or what, and that's why he went that way. But he went towards where those other birds were gobbling. But he never came back. He hit the ground, and he had a mission. Like, he was going to a specific spot. Like, boom on the ground, and then there he goes. And so that was, I don't know, first 20 minutes of season or something like that. So very close, no cigar. Spent the rest of the morning, essentially. I left, I think, around noon. Chris had to leave mm-hmm. earlier because he had some family obligations. He only stayed up till 8. He had a guy that actually set up not too far down from him and shot, but there were Chris didn't get an opportunity where he was. But he left around 8, and then I stayed there, and I don't know if they were just real, like, I think there's like a plethora of hens this year.
Yeah.
Like, after that bird hit the ground and gobbled a handful of times, nothing. I couldn't buy a gobble the rest of the morning. Which was wild. It was like after 7:30, nothing, silence. I heard some other pressure. I heard two people shoot, and it sounded like they were like jump shooting birds, because I heard boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, geez, old Pete. It was like two different areas where I heard that. But it wasn't like last year. I heard like 10 different people shoot. Like, there was a lot more pressure last year. I don't know if it was the fog had them. Like, it was different because of all the fog. And also, like, I don't know if there was just a bunch of hens, because they weren't gobbling anywhere. I cover a handful of miles walking around this area, and I go back to the car. I did hear a gobble finally at like 9:45, but he was on private near the parking lot. And I'm like, son of a gun. And again, he was weird. He gobbled like two or three times on his own. That was it. Wouldn't respond to a thing. Like,
jeez, oh, Pete.
No locator, no any other calls, nothing, which I thought was odd. But one thing I told Chris, I saw a ton of hawks that day. Like, after,
really?
Yeah. After that bird gobbled, I saw two red-tailed hawks flying in the general vicinity. So I don't know if that had that bird spooked. But I think that opening day I saw 4 or 5.
Jeez, man.
Which is a ton. I was like, holy cow. So that was the end of my opening day. So that was Saturday. Sunday, went back to the same area. I went on the same bench system, but I went like 100 yards down where I had heard those other birds.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of where that bird I heard, where the direction he went, essentially. So in my head, I was like, I'm going to set up down there. If he does the same thing, he should come right to me, right? I get set up. I didn't hear any gobbles there. I heard, I don't know if it was just, so those birds around there, once they get a ton of pressure, they'll go on to some private. That's not far. That's mm-hmm. where I heard all the gobbles. I heard 4 or 5 over on the private. And that was about it. Chris set up in the same spot that he was in. He heard some gobbles off to his right, and he went after those. But again, kind of the same thing. Like, really not a lot of gobbling after they hit the ground. We eventually met up like mid-morning, and we took, I think it was 10 o'clock. We kind of sat in an area where he had heard, we both had heard gobbles in this area, but it had been quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, we'll just set up here and just like be quiet for a while, and when one sounds off when he's lonely, we'll go after that bird. So we kind of took like a power nap. We were like in this nice little shaded area. And then I don't know how much, I think it was like an hour went by. Like we both like kind of dozed off and I heard a gobble, woke me up. And I was like, that was a bird. Like, are you sure? I'm like, that was definitely a bird. So we go, I don't know, 150, 200 yards. Chris calls a little bit and then two birds sound off. So we're like, oh, we're in the money. Like if you're gobbling right now, you're dying. So we're trying to slowly work towards these birds, calling a little bit here and there, and they respond. And we get where we feel like we can't really go any further. There's kind of a knoll in front of us that was hiding us. And we're like, well, if we go any further, we're going to crest this, and they'll probably be able to see us. So we stop where we're at, and then they go silent again. Like, again, nothing. And silence, and like we're finally like, okay, let's move up some, go up to where we feel like we can see a decent ways, and then there's nothing. So I don't know what happened, but that pretty much ended our second day. That was the opening weekend for Kentucky, kind of a kick between the legs.
Well, mine wasn't much different than that. It just took place in a different area, I feel like. I decided I wanted to hunt Kentucky public on opening weekend because I hadn't done it in quite some time, but I wanted to do a hunt that I've been looking forward to doing for God knows how long. There's a WMA near a lake that I've always wanted to go and do this hunt. So lucky for me, my parents were near there and had camp set up. So I took me and my boys went down, and my dad and I we get down there on Friday night, and I was going to run immediately to the woods and see if I could roost a bird. And my dad had gotten a hold of me earlier in the day, said, "Hey man, I heard a bird here yesterday. It was on this point. I'll just take you in by boat tomorrow and drop you off." Fantastic. So I wake up at four. Actually woke up at three, I woke up at three again, waited around till 4 o'clock, got coffee in me, and we got out on the lake. There's a bunch of crap in the lake because of rains that had happened. So I'm having to hold a spotlight to run across the lake so we don't run into anything. And we finally get to this area where my dad had heard this bird. And it's 5 o'clock at this point, maybe 5:30. And as I'm getting out of the boat, I realized, I looked at my dad and I said, "You know what I just realized? That there's bears here." And he goes, "Well, better load your gun before you climb up the hill." And then he drove off. So I am on the side of the lake with about a 200 to 300 foot elevation change to go up. So I start the climb up, and it wasn't awful, but it wasn't fun. It was very steep, a lot steeper than what I had originally looked at. And when you look at things on a topo map, or like on Spartan Forge or Onyx, and you put the lines on, you're like, "Oh, what? That's just like, you know, 10 foot differences." It's a lot when you really when you get into it. So after
you gotta really pay attention to how close those lines are together.
Oh man, do you ever? So I climb to the top of the hill and I get set up and I wait till first light. And first light comes, I rip a hoot owl call, nothing. I wait around a little bit longer, make another hoot owl call, and I hear a bird. Problem with it is that the bird is now on a different point across the mouth of the creek, and it would be a full-on, I think, 3 mile walk to get around an area that might be 400 yards as the crow flies, like from point to point. So I'm like, okay, well, just walk and call. So I'll just start walking, calling, and I strike a bird. It sounded like a bird had kind of come off the roost. And I get to the very top of the hill at 7 o'clock because I walk across the saddle that I had kind of picked out where I thought the birds would be roosting. That would have been a nice little strut zone. It was not. It was actually very uncomfortable to go across because each side was a sheer drop off into the lake. but led up to some really nice oak ridges, which was very nice to see. Scrapes under every branch. So I'm walking across this area, bumped a deer, and I get to the top of this hill, watch the sun come all the way the rest of the way up, and don't hear anything. So I'm like, okay, pull out my Spartan Forge, look at it. It's like, I'm going to go down over here and check this. There's a big power line that goes across the lake right there, and it looks like it's open underneath it. So I go, and I'm walking down to it, and I find an access road. It's like, oh, sweet. This is fantastic. I'm like, this must be here because the power lines are here. Walk over to the power lines, rip a call, don't hear anything. Walk back on the access road, find a turkey track. It's like, okay. Like, and it had rained the day before. So I'm like, okay, I'm in business. At some level, there's got to be a bird here.
Mm-hmm.
Walk, rip a call. Next thing I know, I see a turkey fly out of the tree in front of me at 7:30. This bird is still in the tree. I'm pretty sure it was a hen. Like, just maddening to see. Like, why are you still in the tree? Like, it is way past fly down time. You should have been on the ground already. So at this point, it's like, well, you're going to look for tracks and you're just going to keep going until you strike a bird. So walk about 200 yards, call, walk 200 yards, call, find tracks, start following back. The problem with this is that with these lakes down here, the WMAs only run up to a certain point up top. And specifically, the state owns up into a certain point, then it goes to private. All right, so I'm walking. And I'm getting close to like these property lines, but I'm probably a mile and a half back at this point. And I call and I strike a bird. And so I'm frantically trying to figure out a way to get set up. So I go back out to a different area of the power line, nice big clear strut zone area, found a track in the middle of the mud there. So I get set up, call. Nothing. Wait a while. Nothing. I sit there for 30 minutes. Never hear anything. Get up, start walking again. Call, strike a bird. What I found, though, is that he's on a piece of private. So I was like, okay, well, maybe. And I think maybe he's like 200 yards on there. Like, if I can get that bird to come down this access road, that bird's going to, I mean, he'll walk right to me. So I walk another half mile. So I'm 2 miles back at this point. Then again, mind you, I got dropped in on by a boat. I hear the gobble. I get set up and I start hearing rustling and leaves below me. I'm like, okay, I just got to wait for this guy to pop his head up over the top of this ridge and I'll have a 50 yard shot. No problem. Bird gobbles. I call and then I hear something that I didn't know what it was. And I'm on a lake. So I was like, well, maybe someone's, you know, out fishing. It gets louder. It gets louder. And I'm like, that's a motor. And I was like, I'm not sure like what I'm hearing. Cause I'm looking down at the lake and I'm not seeing any boats in the area. So then all of a sudden, I see a red 1985 Jeep Grand Cherokee driving down this access path. Now, I want to be clear about something. I am on public that is bordering private. I am 2 miles back. and I am blowing a turkey call. I am in Eastern Kentucky. This is like my worst nightmare. Because this guy's driving fast. It looked as though he was driving erratic. And I thought, this is a landowner. I'm 2 miles back. And he thinks I'm on his property. So the guy pulls up into the middle of the power line. Gets out. And he pulls what I believed to be at the time an elk call out of his truck. I now know it as a ancient pileated woodpecker call. I don't even know where you would get this. It looked like, you ever seen those turkey trumpet calls where I forget, it's wooden on the end and like it's got the black piece at the top where like you make the clucking noise out of or the yelping noises.
Yeah.
So this is like that, except it's like 2.5 feet long. It's huge. And I thought it was an elk tube, like when I saw it. He gets out and he just blows this call. And like trying to shock gobble a bird. So birds that were scratching are no longer scratching. I don't hear a gobble. So I grab my pack, put my gun on my shoulder, I walk out kind of with my arms in the air waving them, and this guy was not expecting to see somebody walk out of the woods where I was at. So it's him and his kid. I was like, hey, are you the landowner? And he goes, oh, no. It's like, okay. And he goes, you had to cross private to get here. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've been hunting here all my life. Completely skates the question of what I am trying to get at here. Proceeds to tell me the guy who owns the property. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware who owns the property. And he goes, you hearing any birds? I said, yeah, on the private. And the guy goes, oh, he won't care. You can walk over there and hunt the birds. I was like, I think I'm going to pass on that. So I talked to him for a little while longer. He explains the whole area to me, which is going to be helpful for deer season. It's open for rifles, so, and there's oak trees everywhere.
It's helpful until he drives his Jeep back there while you're deer hunting.
Right. Until he drives back there at daylight, holding a 30-06 out the window. And God bless you if you're listening to this. Like, I don't mean any ill will towards you or anything, but it's just like, it was not what I was expecting to see on opening morning back there. So then he closes his door and drives back the other way. And then another truck pulls in. So before he left, I was like, hey man, like, how did you get here? He goes, oh, he goes, there's an old access road over by the marina down there. And blah, 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 blah. This is how you get there. I was like, so did you come in on public or private? He goes, oh, no, it's just an old access road. Like, okay, I know what's going on here. Is that you've probably been driving back here for your entire life, killing a bird off these power lines, and someone you weren't expecting to be here was here. So I tried. I had struck another gobbler, but it was off on private on a different area of the lake. So I went and hunted the afternoon. I did 4 miles in the morning. I did another 4 miles in the afternoon.
It's a good day.
Didn't strike a bird in the afternoon. Sorest I'd ever been going up and down the hills. It was a bucket list hunt for me. And it was one of those things that I told myself, like, if I ever get the opportunity to do this, I'm going to go do this. I think I mentioned it to you guys.
Yeah.
Way earlier on in the year that this might happen. And I'm happy I did it. I really am. It had been cool to kill a bird, but you know, damn good well as I do, you get pressured birds or, you know, any types of things boogering them up, especially on opening weekend. It makes it super tough.
It does.
Hey guys, Rick here from the Mobile Hunter Podcast, and I'm here to tell you about one of our sponsors, Saddy's LLC, Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads that have been putting down deer, waterfowl, and turkey all year long. The Satty's Fatty, the turkey load that we use, can stop a bird dead in its tracks. Check them out at SattiesLLC.com. That's SattiesLLC.com or on Facebook at Satty's LLC and tell them the Mobile Hunter podcast sent you.
So that rolls into this past weekend, which was one of the single greatest. I'm fair to say, like, I would say top moments of my life. I mean, hunting career, definitely. Life, more than likely. So, my dad gives me a call. Well, he talks to me while we're down there that weekend. And he goes, "Hey, man, I'll forego opening weekend in Ohio to come down and call for Harrison so you can go chase that big bird on that property." And I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "I mean, my dad's retired, and opening day is fun for him, but it's not a necessity. And the place that he likes to hunt, it's actually probably better that he doesn't hunt on opening day because the pressure drives the birds onto an area where he's got private access to. So it's good to wait a couple of days." So he goes, "Yeah, man, we'll make a time out of it." So I call Bruce, who's been on the podcast before. It's Bruce's mm-hmm. farm. And I say, "Hey, man, like, do you mind if my dad comes down and calls for Harrison while I go and hunt?" And he goes, "Yeah." So about halfway through the week, Bruce goes, "Hey, I'm going to be available. Can I come hunt with you?" I was like, "Sure, man, it's your property. I'll be happy." It's like, "I'll be happy to, you know, repay the favor." So we make a small turkey camp out of it. We go down on Friday night. Bruce was already down there, had seen the big bird and another pretty big tom on the property. And he said that he was doing farm chores and never got close enough to shoot him. And they just kind of slowly walked off into the woods. It's like, fantastic. He tells me where it's at. And my thought with these birds were, these bigger ones, is that they were flying down into the bottom and then walking up the trail to the top, because that's what that bird did last time.
Mm-hmm.
So we go and we fish at his pond that night, have a couple drinks, hit the hay. 4 o'clock rolls around. Get Harrison up at 5 after I've got, you know, coffee, hot chocolate made for him and that kind of stuff. And we start our way up the hill. So we start our way up the hill, half mile walk to the blind. We help set my dad had a spread, like a spread of decoys. He had a Jake. He had what he calls the holy hen, which is a bird that he's shot. A hawk has attacked. I think a Jake kicked a hole in it. Like, it's got like the damn thing's got holes in it. But he's killed more birds over this thing than I care to even think about. He's got that. He had a 3/4 strut Jake, a Jake strutter with a real fan. And then he had a breeding hen on the ground. So he gets all this set up after we help get the bog pod set up and the chairs and everything. Bruce and I head down into the bottom. And I was like, "Okay, we'll get down here." And it gets right to first light, and we haven't heard a gobble yet. So I rip a hoot owl call, and 300 yards down in the next. So we're in the first bottom, not the second bottom, where he's okay. Got the food, not the food plot one, but the first one where he's got okay. The shooting house at.
Gotcha.
And we hear birds, and I hear what I believe to be the bigger bird up the hill off to the right of us. I said, "What do you want to do?" He goes, "Well, those birds sound like they're a lot closer. Let's go hunt those." And we had kind of talked about it. He said, "You know, if, you know, if something comes in front of me that I feel comfortable shooting, like, because it's a Jake and I want to shoot it, I'm going to shoot it. I'm like, awesome, man. Like, whatever, whatever floats your boat. I get the decoy set up, at a hen with a Jake, trailing behind. And birds just start gobbling. We caught, I mean, we counted probably 12 or 13 birds in the trees that morning gobbling. It was insane. These two Jakes, I'm assuming there's Jakes, and I think there might have been a gobbler because we heard a third bird down a little bit past them. Gobbling, gobbling, gobbling. I'm making calls, do a fly down cackle, and wait. So birds don't pitch down. They're still gobbling in the tree. I call again. Bruce has got his gun up. And all of a sudden, a turkey pitches out of the tree directly above us, right in front of us. It was a hen. And I had to say, don't shoot. That's a hen. Not that he was going to shoot, but like when a bird pitches down that close in front of you, like, you bet, you damn well better sure make sure you know what it is and identify it. Mm-hmm. It pitches down, goes down 60 yards, runs 60 yards down the green way from us and goes into the woods and just starts cutting and yelping and cackling and all this stuff. So I start doing it back. Jakes immediately fly down, start working our way. And I told Bruce, I'm like, get your gun up. These birds are coming. And next thing we know, these birds start walking away and they turn back and go the exact opposite way. Only thing I can think of is that the hen got over to them and they walked off. So we decide we're going to sit here until 7:30. I said we're going to sit here until 7:45 and then we'll get up. Well, I couldn't wait any longer. So we got up at 7:30. Get down all the decoys, put them in my bag. I'm like, okay, let's walk over towards these birds. Like, see if they're not up here on this road. And we can't strike one, get set up. We get everything packed up. We get to start moving. And we just hear, boom, single shot. I knew it was Harrison's gun. Absolutely knew it. It came from, Bruce thought it was farther off. I'm like, no, it's a 410. It's going to sound weaker than your 20 gauge or my 12. So I'm like, let's work our way up there and around. And all the while, before we went down there, Dad's like, I'll text you to give you updates on like what's happened. So down at the bottom, you don't get service. Can't send a message. Can't receive a message. So I walk up and immediately halfway up the hill, my phone just starts buzzing. Chris had shot a bird, which he'll talk about, I believe, next week when we get him on here in Ohio. We're walking up. I look down and my dad had sent me a video, just said mission accomplished, and Harrison with a thumbs up. And he said, if you can get up here, there's a bird still attacking his bird. I'm like, what is going on? So we get over there and we kind of crest the hill and look, and he waves something out the window and is like, but he like puts his hand down, like get down. So we're waiting and he like waves us over again. So I wave, like I walk over and he said, there are two toms fighting each other 20 yards into the woods. Go over there, get set up, and call. So I gave my son a high five. I said, great job, buddy. Still haven't seen the bird yet because we're thinking we're going to like triple here and be done.
Yeah.
So we run over, jump in the woods, call, wait. I wait like 5 minutes and I'm just like, I'm not going to sit here and wait. If those birds are there, they're there. we'll try to get them. It's not even 8 o'clock at this point. Bruce doesn't have to leave until like 10. So we walk back over to the blind. My dad proceeds to tell me they had two birds, two gobblers, and a hen come off the roost behind them, that saw them set up the decoys that didn't like it. So he starts, he had started doing like soft clucks and yelps, and he had seen out off the point, the big bird. The big bird flew down off the point in front of him, out in the field, and kind of came down, and they're watching it. Well, they watched this other bird kind of work its way with him and kind of work down out of sight. So it walked down, I guess, around the base of the hill and came up behind them pretty quickly. And like it closed, 200 yards and got behind them quick. So he said he hits the call, and he said the next thing you know, you just hear something running at a dead sprint past the blind. And this turkey runs and just jumps and starts attacking the decoy. So Harrison gets up, and on that day, I had it set up so he could stand and shoot. The big bird then starts running in towards him, but he was smart. And as soon as that first bird that came in stopped moving, he pulled the trigger and killed it. The big bird came in and started flogging his bird at that point. So there's like a minute and a half video. I think I sent it to you guys.
Yeah.
Of like Harrison saying like, go away. Like, what are you doing to my bird? Like whisper yelling at this bird. And finally it goes off and starts fighting this other Tom that showed up. So we start taking pictures with him. My dad says like, keep hunting. Like I'm going to get him down. Like we'll work. And we won't bugger you up. So we walk back out towards the gate at the top of the cattle pasture and immediately strike a bird, maybe 40 yards in the woods from us. And I could hear a hen like on the other side. So we wait, we try to call this bird in, doesn't happen. We go back out, we go all the way to the back, towards the back hill, call nothing. And then as we're walking out, my dad says, hey, there's a gobbler by the pond. He boogered when we went down there. So we walk over by the pond and immediately have a turkey run out in front of us. It's a hen. Never saw a gobbler. So we walk down, check his pollinator habitat, see if there's any birds. Nothing. We walk back up. And at this point, it's like 9:45, 10 o'clock. And my dad sits down, has a cup of coffee. Harrison's kind of chilling out. And Bruce is getting dressed because he's got to leave to go to his son's game for soccer. And I go to grab my thermos. And I was like, God damn it. I left my bag up by the blind. It's like, I'm going to go up there and get it. And I grab my gun because of the fiasco that happened last time. So I grab my gun. I walk back up there and I get to the cattle gate and Bruce is calling me. I was like, hey man, what's up? And he goes, hey man, I'm looking at a bird from the road right now. I was like, cool. I'm like, great. Like you're seeing a bird from the road. And he goes, I took a different way home. And he goes, I can see my back hill. And he goes, and there's a bird there. And he goes, no, there's not. He goes, yeah, there is. There's a bird. And he goes, and he's in full strut. I run on a dead sprint, which, so I learned it's 0.75 miles from Bruce's house at the bottom to that spot. So I ran as fast as I could. I dropped down there's a little tree line. And he said, you know where that little bench, like there's that top of the hill and there's just the slightest bench. And then it goes down. That's where that big gobbler was a few years back that you and Chris tried to crawl up on.
Yeah.
So I get to that back hill and I start getting close there. So I drop to the ground and I belly crawl probably, I would say 150, 200 yards. And, I feel my wrist buzz and Bruce is like out on the road, like watching this all go down, like watching me. So my wrist buzzes and I'm not, I don't want to check anything. I'm like, the only thing that that could be is either my dad trying to get a hold of me or Bruce trying to get a hold of me. So I keep crawling because my thought is that those birds have either are either moving away from me or moving towards me. Well, it was the second one. They're moving towards me. So I get up and do the low crouch and immediately I look to my left at like 60 yards and I just see a like a gray head and there's a hen staring directly at me. So she runs back over the knoll and I'm like, well, this is now or never. I get my gun up and I go up and I look and here is this stark white head that is looking directly at me. And then all of a sudden it turns to blood red. And I was like, you're done. Get the gun up, pull the trigger. Bird doesn't move. So I pull the rack that round out. He boogers. I shoot again. Nothing. Takes off in flight. And like all I'm thinking is like, this is, I can't believe this is happening. Shoot the third time. This sucker looks like a wounded duck just falling out of the air at this point and just smokes this cedar tree. So I jack out the third round and I'm running like downhill, lose my hat. And thank God I had the box of ammunition in my pocket because I really thought, and guys, I want to be clear. These aren't long beards. This is TSS. I know what the cost is on this. I get up there and he is like wobbling. So I shoot and just the bird just drops like a sack of potatoes out of this tree. Like it just falls. Like it was trying to limb hop to another tree. I hit it mid hop and it just falls straight down. Go over, pick it up. For those of you who have tried to pick up turkeys by the feet, always remember, unlike me, who almost got stabbed by a spur that day, put on its neck first, and if you can, put your foot on their feet so it doesn't spur you. Mm-hmm. All the while, I am jacked out of my mind. Like I cannot believe that this has happened. I go get the bird, start walking back. Have to go back to get my hat because I forgot my hat. I'm sending you guys videos, trying to call my dad, just like repeatedly trying to call my dad, send text. Nothing. He's down in the bottom where Bruce's house is and wasn't connected to the Wi-Fi. So I'm walking back. I am like hovering off the ground at this point. Like could not like be happier. Stop and get my bag from the blind. Keep walking. I get to the top of the hill, see the gobbler that my dad said that he saw run away. So this is now another gobbler. And I get like halfway down the hill and just start yelling. And my son comes running out and he's like, Dad, where are you at? I said, I'm up the hill. And he goes, what's going on? And I said, like, what's better than one bird? And he goes, two birds. And he like comes sprinting towards me. And he goes, did you get one? I was like, I did. Like I got a bird. He's like, I knew you were back there hunting. And like, that's why you weren't back yet. So I'm like, go get your grandpa. So my dad like comes around and Harrison's like, he got a bird. He goes, no, he didn't. And I like flop my pack out and drop the bird. And to this day, the reason why this was so special, and I know this is kind of long and drawn out, this was my first double ever with anybody. And I got to share it. It was with my son at different times. Like we shot a bird at a different time, but it was, it was such a cool experience knowing that he shot his first like full gobbler. I shot a gobbler. My dad was there, and you know, I couldn't have wrote a better day. It was sunny. It was beautiful. Like I told you guys, I teared up like driving home because there's no way that I could have thought that this was going to happen. Like there's no way. And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in the woods. And it was just such an awesome time.
Yeah. That's a memory you'll have forever. Like it's one of those hunts that, I mean, they all stick out, but that's one that'll like, you know, especially stick out.
Absolutely, man. It was such a great time, such a great hunt. And yeah, I'm still kind of in shock about it. All honestly, I keep playing it all through my head and just, it's nuts. So that was me and my son tagging in Kentucky. So
awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So we have one more bird to talk about.
Yeah. Yes. So, well, you guys were in Kentucky that way. So that day would have been Ohio's opening day when you guys shot your birds. So you and Harrison shot birds. Chris shot a bird, which we'll hear about on a different episode. And then I was hoping to round things out. So to preface this, I thought I wasn't going to be able to go out on opening day for Ohio. My wife had work. She was working all day on Saturday, and I wasn't sure if anyone would be able to watch little guy. And I was like, well, if someone is, I won't be able to go out like until later. I would miss fly down and then hope to get a bird mid morning. Things ended up working out. Fortunately, my wife didn't have to leave until a little bit later than I had originally thought. And then my mother, she's off on Friday. She usually watches my son on Fridays. I had asked her, I was like, hey, like, do you mind just like watching him for a little while? That way I can get out at least for like a couple hours. She was like, oh, can I bring him back to my house? I mean, he's got a playset and stuff there. So I'm like, well, yeah, like pick him up, take him to the house. He can play with, you know, Mamaw, Papaw. And
have yeah. Him.
Like that'll give me all morning. So I got to go out. And I was debating on where to go, whether to go on some public or a piece of private. And I was like, eh, my mom's watching my son. I don't want to be too far. I'll just go hit a piece of private. And the piece of private is actually my father's place. It's like 20 acres. I killed my Ohio bird there. Previous 2 years, I've killed my Ohio bird.
Yeah.
The year before, my dad killed a monster tom there. So I was like, I'll just go back here and see what happens. So no scouting, but from previous history, I know there tend to be birds in the general area. And even though I just said we've like the prior 3 years we've gotten birds, but the property's kind of a gamble in my opinion. So it's 20 acres, which is a smaller parcel. If you're hunting birds, most of it is wooded. Actually the vast majority of it, there's a very small field. And by small field, I mean, it's a third of an acre behind their pond. Which is where the first year we were able to turkey hunt it, my dad killed a bird. Out of that small field, I killed a bird out second year. And then the bird I took last year was actually on the opposite piece of the property. But all the neighbors around there, so there's like two big fields that they usually cut for hay. They don't use it for ag, we'll cut it for hay. But these birds tend to go to those bigger fields, and they usually roost near those fields. So on my father's property, how we play it is try and call over a hen and get a tom to kind of follow them onto the property. That's how we pretty much killed all the birds there. So opening morning, I went and set up in that little field. I have a couple decoys there. So I set out like half strut, Jake and a hen, and I was setting up. I was like, okay, I'll hear where these birds are. The hope was the neighbor to the south, his field is much closer than the other one on the north side. And last year there was a hen roosted literally just over our line near that field, but she was able to pitch down into our little field and we had a tom follow. So I was like, well, I'm hoping that's going to happen again. So it starts to break down. It's like quarter after six and I hear my first gobble and it's like 200-300 yards off on one of the neighbors, kind of near that bigger field up to the north of me. He was actually northeast of my location. So I'm like listening. I hear a few more go off in that same general area. I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing anything in the closer field. And then I heard a bird on kind of the northwest side of the property. And I could tell it was another 200 yards away on some different neighbors. So I'm like, okay. So it gets close to seven, maybe left seven, and I didn't hear anything. Like I could tell the birds had hit the ground. Mm-hmm. Those were the only gobbles I heard, like off to the northeast and off to the northwest. So to near the northwest side of the property, one of the neighbors that butts up to that side, he's got like a small little field that he just cut down trees. And it's like a half acre or so, but it's a nice area where the birds can strut. And it butts right up against that larger field. Like there's a tree line and then you're in that much larger field. So I killed my bird last year near there. I actually had two toms go in to that neighbor's smaller little field just in the wood line there. And I was able to call them over on our property. So in my mind, I had heard that bird that morning to the northwest of where I was. I was like, I'm going to go set up in the same location I killed my bird last year, thinking that that bird I heard earlier might work his way to that small field and then to the bigger field where some of those other birds were. So I start working my way that way. I hit a locator call. I think I hit my owl call. Boom. I heard a gobbler still northwest. Okay. I'm like, okay, this might work out. So I go down and just off of that field when we get on it's a wood line, an old fence line, and then like you're on our property and there's a two track that literally runs the length of our property and then on to the neighbors and it goes all the way down. So I'm working my way on this two track. I get it set up on the two track on our property. Like, okay, if anything comes here, they should be able to see them and then call them, hopefully, towards me. So I'm sitting there for a while, and I'm calling. And that bird I originally had fire off when I hit the locator call, I never heard it again. But I could hear, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes goes by, and I start getting aggressive on my slate call. And I had some birds sound off in the big field. Now, I'm kind of like on that fence line on our property and I can't see in the field because around the edge, it's like I said, they don't plant it or anything. It's taller. Mm-hmm. Grass. And I'm like, I can hear them out there. I can't see them. They sound like, you know, they're on the far wood line, which would be 150 yards away. So I hear some gobbler sound off and I heard a hen. I was like, well, let's see if I can make this hen angry and maybe she'll come this way. So I'm like getting aggressive on the call and they're like gradually getting closer. They like work down the opposite wood line and get about even with me. And I go silent for a while and I hit it and it sounds like they're closer. I'm like, okay, these birds might actually come all the way over here. So I'm just like soft calling a little bit here and there. And eventually I'm set up on that two track and I can see all the way down into that other neighbor's small field. And I see some hens pop out. I'm like, oh, they came off the big field and pop into that little field. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like sitting there waiting. And then they eventually work off, but not too long after that, I see like two or three other hens pop in. And then I see a strutter.
Nice.
I'm like, here we go. Like game on. The only thing that had me worried, he had like three hens with him. I'm like, this is going to be tough. Like, I'm like, I don't have any decoys with me here. I had left the decoys back in the other small field on our property. I was like, I'm going to have to like try and call these hens over and get them to bring, like, you know, bring the gobbler towards me. So I'm like calling and waiting and calling and just trying to get them. They work like to the property line a little bit further. So like that field is probably 40, 50 yards wide. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like 40 yards into the woods on our property. And when they pop out, they're probably like 80. They work further west and then come towards the property line, and they don't cross, but they're right on the edge. So from where I'm at, it's like 50 yards and there's like some trees and stuff. Like it's like green up. So there's trees. I can see the fan and some of the hens moving. I'm like, come on, like just literally cross the line and like go 15 more yards. And then there's a little spot where I could shoot. Never happened. I'm like trying to call, like working the line. They eventually work their way off and they do cut the corner of our property. And there's an old four wheeler track there. Actually, at the very northwest corner of that property on the north side of that,
mm-hmm.
that's the property I grew up on. So like I found it around there my whole life. And on the back side of that property, it's one of our old four wheeler trails. So I know the trail they went down. And they worked their way in the woods. And I waited a while and I didn't hear anything. Eventually, it's like 10:30. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a move. I can't move too much because I don't, I can tell they're still in the woods somewhere. I don't know how far. I eventually get the gobbler to sound off. I hit a crow call and he sounded off. And I'm like, and he sounded a little ways away. And I'm like, okay, I think I can make a move. I don't think they're going to see me. So like slowly work in further into the woods, and I'm like trying to stay behind trees and stay crouched down. It's a good thing I did. I made it like 50 yards and I look ahead and I can literally see our corner stake, and right next to it I see a bright red head, and I'm like, oh my god, they're 50 yards in front of me.
Oh man.
So I like drop, like I'm already crouched down, but I like fully sit on the ground, like have safety off. And I'm like, okay, it looked like they were working my way. He started working towards me, but there was a Jake in there. I heard like a Jake yelping like all morning over there.
Yeah.
And he eventually popped out in that small field too when the gobbler and those hens were there. So I'm like, well, I have to damn well make sure that it's the Tom and not the Jake. So it looked like he was working my way, but those hens were still there. And they eventually work off. And I think what had happened was I didn't hear any like alarm putts, but I think one of the hens might have picked me off when I sat down, because I never heard anything after that. I never saw him after that. I didn't see him run away or anything. So that pretty much ended my morning.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah. So I had the safety off again, didn't get a shot. So I'm like, son of a gun. So I go pick up my son from my mother's and take him home and stuff. So Sunday comes around. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to my father's property again and anticipate that they're going to do the same thing. Because in my mind, I was like, there's no reason for them not to come to this small field and this wood line. I was like, and if those birds, where they went off, if they happen to stay in the woodlot, like there's a chance that they could be roosted over there and then eventually work their way towards that small field and into that bigger field. So I'm like, I'm just going to do that. So I set up Sunday morning a little bit in a better position on that two track, and then but kind of anticipating where they cut the corner of our property and the neighbor. Mm-hmm. So I like set up a little bit further in the woods, but I could still see the two track and where they cut the corner of our property. And I took the decoys with me this time, and I set it on our property on the two track. So that way I'm like, well, if the birds pop out in that field and work either come off the field or come on off the big field, or come into the small field and work their way to the big field, they're going to get on the two track and they should see these decoys and hopefully work towards me. So that was the thought. So I'm sitting there, daylight breaks, and I hear gobbler sound off where I first heard them Saturday morning, opening day morning. And again, it was probably three of them I heard. They were a ways off. I didn't hear anything in the wood lot where I was. I'm like, well, son of a gun. Maybe they made a big loop and roosted back where they were the previous morning.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm like, I'm going to have to wait them out, try and call them this way. And that's essentially what I did. I would call softly. Everyone's wild scratch leaves. Wait a little while. Get aggressive. I was able to get those toms to fire off multiple different times. And it sounded closer each time. So I'm like, okay, this might actually work. So I don't know, it gets to, it's like 8 o'clock essentially that I can see out in the small field on the neighbors, and I see a body through some of the trees, and then I see a fan pop up. I'm like, oh God, like a bird worked into this field and I didn't see him. So I like safety off. I'm like, okay, like here we go. Trying to call a little bit. Well, three hens pop into the field off that small field, off of the big field, like they did.
Okay.
And then here comes, you know, Mr. Boss right behind them. Big fan. And at this point, they're to the east. So the sun's kind of coming up behind them and like it's lighting up the fan. I'm like, this is awesome. Here we go. And like I called a little bit and those hens saw the decoys. And they started working their way towards me pretty quickly. So I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, I just need to wait it out. So I stopped calling, but they kept working their way towards the decoys. And that Tom did the same thing. Like, worked down the two track towards the decoys. As soon as he got across the property line, I had a shot. And I'm like, you're done. So that was pretty cool. That was...
How far was your shot?
Like 30, 35 yards.
Oh man, that's
dropped
nice.
Like a sack of bricks. Like didn't move, just boom down.
I love it.
Yeah. I was pretty proud of that because so it might have just been luck and that was kind of their natural pattern that they usually do. But in my head, like I was calling through, like my calling is what brought them over.
Mm-hmm.
To them. And then I looked later on my Spartan Forge. I drew like a line from where I heard them and where they were. And as a crow flies, it was like 275 yards.
Damn, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, cool. Like I got them to come across this big open field into the woodlot to the smaller field. And then on our property, I'm like, that's a pretty good day.
Hell yeah, it is. Excellent.
So punched my Ohio tag.
So you've got Kentucky left, correct?
Yeah, I still have yet to get a bird in Kentucky.
Okay.
Hoping to change that this week.
Yeah, hopefully you do, because if you don't get them soon, we don't want you eating tag soup in Kentucky this year.
Yeah, I don't want to either. And then we have, like, I'm going to be out of town all weekend this weekend, so this weekend's out of the question. I work next Saturday.
Oh, man.
That's pretty much out of the question. I'm like one of the days I'm off during the week. Next week, I think it's next week. Little man has a doctor's appointment. I'm like, oh my gosh. So my days are limited.
Well, it's important to capitalize on the days that you can. Like we've talked about before, if you're efficient about stuff, it's gonna put you on birds. It's gonna put you on deer, and hopefully. That's the case moving forward for you, man.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope.
Good deal. Any closing thoughts?
No, if you're still out there, if you haven't punched a tag yet, keep after it. Like we just talked about, I had the safety off 2-3 different times before I got my Ohio bird. I was getting a little frustrated. I'm like, well, this is a bunch of BS. Like, I'm getting within range. And just can't close, and this is frustrating. Just keep after it. It's going to happen. Just don't give up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my mind is same to similar is that, you know, certainly private land and public land kind of work out like different opportunities, but know the places you're going, have buddies who are willing to help you out. Certainly helped me, help my son. And there becomes a point that when you start looking at this, at stuff like this, there is a sense that certain levels of woodsmanship do, even if somebody tells you where a bird's at, like you have to know what to do. You have to know how to execute. I was, as I told, I think Chris the other day, he would be proud of my aggressiveness on that bird. It is not within my being normally to crawl that far and then to pop up and take what I believe to be about a 70, 75 yard shot. And it was, it was a shot, man. You know, it's one of those things though, that, I think it was Josh Fox said, not here to watch birds. I'm here to kill birds. And it was important to me to do that weekend. And I know the price of TSS, but to me, it was priceless. So I'll gladly waste 3 shells on a bird, 4 shells on a bird, in order to have another day like that. Absolutely. So, my closing thought is that, have buddies that'll help you and get kids out in the woods. This is a wonderful time to do that. So, all right. Well, till next time, this is the Mobile Hunter Podcast. We've been your hosts, Rick Cates and Josh Luck. And thanks for joining us. And we'll talk at you later. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. The best way you can support the podcast is by sharing online and with your buddies at Deer Camp. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and leave us a 5-star review.